It's time for the Digital Joe Podcast, the show for business owners who want to know how to use social media and digital marketing to grow their local business. Now, here's your host, Joe Amato.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Digital Joe Podcast. It's episode number 6. Hope this episode finds you well. Remember, this is the show for business owners and marketers that want to know how to grow with digital and social media marketing. On this episode, I'm joined by another guest. His name is Martin Beal. He's the creative director for an agency in Connecticut. He's also the editor and creator of the Agency Review. In this interview, we talk about the basics of marketing and how they're applied to digital. It's a really good conversation that every local business owner and big brand for that matter should really listen to. It's some really good insight from somebody that's had years of experience in the advertising and marketing world, and just his take on the digital world is just amazing. It's a really good conversation, and I hope you guys enjoy it. Make sure to give us the review on iTunes if you like what you hear, and I hope you get a ton of value out of this episode. So without any further ado, here is my interview with Martin Beal. All right, guys, my guest today on the Digital Joe Podcast is a good friend of mine, Martin Beal. He's the creative director of Electric Engine, an advertising agency in Norwalk, Connecticut. He's also the founder and editor of the Agency Review. Martin, welcome to Digital Joe.
Hey, Joe, how you doing, man?
I am awesome. Getting some snow from what I hear.
Yeah, it's been weird. It's been snowing on and off here in Connecticut and in Westchester, where I am right now in beautiful Sleepy Hollow. And it's supposed to snow again. We get another nor'easter, I guess, next week. We have one this week. It's beautiful.
All right, well, let's get this over with before the power goes out. We've been trying to get this going for about a week, but between, you know, me losing internet and not having connection to the outside world, it's been kind of difficult.
Yeah, is the internet important to what you do for a living? I haven't been able to figure that out.
only a small bit. This show is really all about teaching the local business owner, the local business manager, local marketing manager, really how to utilize the digital marketing landscape and social media to grow their local business. And I think there's a lot of content out there, if you just do some Google searching, that there's a lot of content directed towards e-com and then the larger brand kind of stuff. But I want to talk a little bit about the local side of that, because this is a medium, meaning online marketing in general, that is a very powerful way for a local business to grow. And mm-hmm. and you know, you're one of those people that I think understands that.
Yeah, I hope I do. I'm trying to make a living at it partially. And the thing that I think people get hung up on, whether we're talking about small local businesses or large Fortune 500 companies, is that the fundamental principles are still the same, right? Regardless, the brand is still what exists in your customer's head, not what you want to shove down their throats. Whether you're, you know, a landscaping guy or a local restaurant, or whether you're, you know, Ford. And so, you have to figure out how to deliver that message in a meaningful way on this new medium. Regardless. And so that's one of the things that I find actually amidst all the sort of the chaos of the developments on digital and in the internet, reassuring, because you can sort of always go back to those sort of basic things. You know, a brand is still a promise that the product is going to deliver the solution the customer wants. And so how do you set yourself up that way so that they understand that that's what you're delivering, regardless of whether it's on Facebook or it's on a TV, you know, commercial or whether it's on a billboard or something.
So at that higher level, where you're really talking about the branding and the awareness, do you think that still applies to the local small business, and can it be accomplished through the mediums that we're talking about?
No, yeah, definitely. I think branding is a part of everything that that anybody does. You and I were talking before we started recording about, you know, branding versus direct response. And my attitude is generally that it's not an either or proposition. I'm also sort of just generally finding myself less interested in sort of either or paradigms most of the time. But you know, when you do any kind of advertising, it should always be unique to your brand, unique to what you are. Otherwise, why would people want to remember you and pay attention to you? Otherwise, you're just a commodity. That said, everything that you do, and the internet certainly allows you to do this, is there should be some sort of action component to it, right? There should be some way to act, because the real strength, the real opportunity of the internet, and you see small businesses failing in this, but you also see, to much to my sort of horror, you know, huge multinational companies failing at this. The opportunity of the internet is and especially social media is conversation, right? Is the back and forth, and so, you know, the number of, you know, if all you're doing is just sort of, you know, blasting out broadcast, then you're basically advertising as if it was 1955 and you're trying to make a TV commercial, when the opportunity, as I said, is, you know, you put out a video, people can on Facebook, people can comment on it, people can respond to it, people can like it or not like it or share it or tell you that, you know, that it's garbage or that it's not, and that's the strength. And then you can respond back to them, and 99% of the time, even if they hated it, and I found this with social media, but I've also found it with the agency review, even when people hate what you've done and they try, you know, they troll you and you respond and you go, oh dude, I'm really sorry you hated it, 90% of the time they come back and they're like, oh dude, I'm sorry, I was just having a bad day, it's not that bad, I kind of like it because they kind of forget, oh, like, oh yeah, there's a human who made that.
I didn't
think of that, right? And the other, you know, 9% of the remaining 10% of time is that other people will jump to your defense and go, dude, this is great, what are you doing? Why are you complaining about this? You know, so my point is like, and that's the kind of thing that, short of just yelling at your television at 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, that's unique about social media. And so my point is that, you know, you want to make sure that you're delivering a branded message that's unique, that, you know, the Joe message is different than the Martin message, is different than the Anthony message, so that people should have specific reasons for wanting Joe or Martin or Anthony, but at the same time you want them to be able to act. So it's never those are sort of the fundamentals. Those are the fundamentals of advertising. I mean, Claude Hopkins was talking about that in the 1920s. Howard Gossage was writing great stuff that way in the 1960s. You know, it's always been true. It's just now we have media that really allows you to take advantage of that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, 100%. I think what I run into a lot as we're talking with new clients and potential clients and even some existing clients is that they've treated, up until the point of me talking to them, because I'm an evangelist, as you probably can tell, they've treated it like it's a checkbox. Yeah, we have a presence. Yes, we're there, but then that's it. Is that doing, does doing that, just sort of being there, is that doing any good, or is it doing harm to a local business?
Well, again, I think it's true, whether we're talking a local business or a large business. I wrote a piece for Electric Engine last year called why just showing up is not enough. That basically that a media buy is not the same thing as a marketing plan. And there's a line that the former head of Google, whose name just went right out of my head, Eric Schmidt, said back in 2005, and I don't have any reason to believe why it's not still true or probably more true now. He said in 2005 that every 48 hours, more content is created than since the beginning of recorded content to the year 2005, right? That's every 48 hours. Mm-hmm. So think about, you know, we're recording this on Wednesday. So 48 hours ago, you and I were at Yankee Stadium, right? So watching NYCFC win. So since that game, since the last time NYCFC was on pitch, which was only 48 hours ago, more or less, more content was created than since the beginning of recorded content. And then Saturday, you and I would probably be at Yankee Stadium again watching the next game, and another whole, you know, recorded time of content will have been created, right? So it's kind of amazing, right? And believable if you go on any social media and YouTube. Okay, so the reason I bring that up is, now, tell me why anybody is going to find your website.
If you didn't have a shot before.
Right. I mean, you make a website, and I put my, you know, make a website, and when I teach, I've taught at, you know, Villanova and St. Joe's and spoken at other places, and, you know, I work with students, and I say, well, so how's anybody going to find your website if that's true? And there's every reason to believe that it is true. I mean, I think there's, what, a billion sites and 10 billion people on the internet, and they're spending 10 hours a day on it or something.
Right.
So why is anybody going to find your website? And they go, oh, well, they're going to find it because I have a Facebook page that's going to drive them to the website. I go, okay, great. How are they going to find your Facebook page? Well, because I have a YouTube channel that's going to drive them. And how are they going to find the – well, I'm going to tweet about it. And it's like, dude, you know, so like the point is it's not just about – again, it's not just about creating these presences. You have to create reasons for people to pay attention that resonate with them. And then you also have to and this is a thing that these tools allow us to do – is to figure out how to be a part of the conversation, right? So this is a thing that we've talked a lot about at Electric Engine, and we talk with our clients about is, you know, when they start asking about search and SEO and SEM, and it's like you have to do the things that when people search for, not necessarily you, but when they're searching to solve a problem that they have, you know, I need a landscaper, or I need a new car, right? Or I need a used car in Westchester County, used car, Westchester County. I Google that. You have to do the things on your site that make sure that you show up in the top three, because that's 60% of the clicks go to the first three answers on a search. But then once you get into that part of the conversation, then you have to figure out some. Okay, now you're in the conversation, but the game's not over. Now you have to win them. Right, because it's sort of like you know, you have to get invited to the party before you can meet the girl. But just because you got invited to the party doesn't mean you're going to meet the girl.
Well, it's almost like just because you got invited to the party doesn't mean she's going to marry you.
Right. And I think that, and that's a thing that I think that a lot of people don't. That nuance is sort of where people like, you know, companies like yours and mine are helping companies large and small, because they're focused more on sort of like, well, I want to just get invited to the party. It's like, awesome, you're at the party. So is Brad Pitt.
That's right. What are you gonna do?
Right, and if you show up to talk to the girl and all you talk about is yourself. Guess what? Unless you're Brad Pitt, that's not going to probably, I mean, or, you know, you're Joe D'Amato. So that works too. But so that's a lot of that's why I think I think that there are two reasons why a lot of companies, big and small, just show up. And I think big companies just show up because it's a broadcast model, right? It's not that different than just, you know, I'm going to buy media on Facebook,
right,
basically,
right.
And broadcast stuff out, because that's the model they've been using since 1947, okay, or before that, even with radio. And I think with small businesses, it's a matter of, like, you know, they start with on social media specifically. I used to use the Yellow Pages, or my father used to use the Yellow Pages to advertise for my business. Well, nobody uses the Yellow Pages anymore, and my kids don't know what one is, so I can't advertise there. So what am I going to do? I'll be on social media. Oh, and social media is better than the Yellow Pages because it's free. Awesome. And then they give themselves a Instagram account and a Facebook account and a Twitter account and a Snapchat account and a whatever else. And then they start making some content, and they realize, A, it's really difficult to make content that doesn't suck. And B, after they do a little bit of it, they go, oh, you know what? I have a day job, which is the business that I'm trying to advertise. I can't spend all my time making this content.
Wait. I'm supposed to spend time doing this?
Yes, exactly. Right. Right.
I thought this was free, and I was just going to put a picture of my newspaper ad on Facebook, and people were going to come in droves, Martin.
Yes, I know. And you and I are joking about that, but you and I also know that that's actually the conversation that we end up having with a lot of people. Fundamentally, it's not different whether we're talking about a small local business or a large multinational business.
Right.
I think the same fundamental thing, because they're kind of looking at it, you know, from from their perspective, and you and I both know as people in this business for a long time, that 50% of what we do is thinking about not thinking about what we want to say. It's never about what the client wants to say. It's about what the customer wants, needs, and needs to buy, right? Customers buy holes. They don't buy shovels, right? So, you know, it's not a matter of customers, clients look at this stuff from their own perspective of like, I go on Facebook and there's a zillion things there. So, and I see them all the time and blah, blah, blah. It's like,
right.
Yeah. But you're not seeing all of them and you're not, you know, and you're not responding to all of them. And just because one guy, you know, did such and such doesn't mean that that's the model. I mean, it's a lot more, there's a lot more to it than that. And you're welcome to do it the way you want to do it. But you know, here's my card and call me in 6 months when you realize that it didn't work. And that's, I'm sure you're finding the same thing. And we find that with large companies and small companies.
Yeah. It happens all the time. I mean, it's become a necessity for business to be on these platforms, large and small, because again, it's number one, it's where the conversation is happening. And even higher level than that, it's where the attention is. So whether you're a Fortune 500 company or a pizzeria down the road, you're both going for those same eyeballs, right? So Where are they spending that time? Where are they spending that attention? And what are you doing to get in front of them on that device?
Right. And, you know, this is a conversation that Anil Samaru and Chris Ching and I were having about a client that we're pitching right now that, you know, people spend 10 hours a day in front of screens. So that's where they are. Okay. So that's one of the reasons why you want to be on social media, and that's why you want to be on Google, and that's why you want to be all those places. Okay. That makes sense. But as you and I just said, just being there is not enough. You have to now be compelling and interesting and convincing and meaningful. And all those things are, as we said, the sort of the fundamentals of marketing have always been the fundamentals of marketing. And the people who are able to sort of figure out how to do that and be memorable and be compelling are the ones who succeed, right? And, you know, I'm through the agency review and teaching and stuff, I've, you know, I read a lot of advertising history and look at a lot of old advertising stuff. And one of the nice things about looking at old ads is you get to see terrible ads, and you get to see where people sort of, you know, miss the mark. And it's, you know, everybody always looks at the classic, you know, the Think Small that Koenig and Helmut Krohn did, and all those things. Just, it was great. But it also helps to look at stuff that was terrible and go, yeah, they're doing the same terrible. This is not that different from the terrible ads that I see that nobody's paying attention to on Facebook or on Twitter or, you know. All of that to me is just endemic and part of the industry. And then I think you layer on top of that some of the things like that I don't think from a advertising form standpoint, and this is just a thing that I've been trying to wrap my head around, I don't feel like people have quite – I think that the examples of people really harnessing the medium of Facebook, the medium of Twitter, the medium of Instagram to create uniquely great advertising that isn't just a billboard or a glorified billboard. I think that those are sort of few and far between. And so I'm still very excited to sort of see, to be a part of an industry that's still being figured out. You know, it's like, look at television commercials from the 1940s and early 50s. They're basically radio commercials. You know, it's basically a guy sitting there staring at the camera talking to you for 60 seconds, which basically is just a filmed radio commercial. It wasn't until people sort of grew up with that medium that you started seeing TV commercials that were like, wow, that's
telling stories, right?
Telling stories, but also it's like a uniquely television thing. It's not a movie. It's not a radio spot. It's not a play. It's a uniquely television thing. And you know, that's the thing that I think that there are a couple of examples, and I use them in some of the classes that I teach, where you look at them and you go, okay, that's a kind of an advertising idea you could only do on Facebook. That's really cool. That stuff people are still working on it, and I'm excited to be a part of an industry where that's still a possibility.
But here's what's cool about that, and you know, we're in a time now where the market decides what's considered good or not. You know what I mean? When it comes to content, you share something on social, whether it's paid, whether it's organic, your audience is going to tell you how it resonates with them, how well they're receiving that message. And they're going to tell you, there's a lot of KPIs or key performance indicators that we look at to tell us whether it's good or not, that we didn't have years ago, that a lot of the other mediums even today still don't have. Fortunately, you know, we're in a position now where, honestly, Martin, everybody has a 4K camera in their pocket, right?
I thought you were just happy to see me.
It's the 7 Plus. Just wow. FYI.
didn't realize the 7 Plus came in a circumcised version. But anyway, go on.
And the Family Show has been officially labeled explicit on iTunes. Yeah. Thanks, Martin.
That's not explicit. That's just comedy.
Again, the market will decide. But you're like a walking example. So the point is that with the medium of social, it's not let's sink all this money, all this energy into this 1 30-second creative piece, and 12 weeks from now we're going to figure out whether or not it worked. We're in a time where whether you're a local business or a Fortune 500, you put something out today, and by tomorrow, you're going to know whether people like it or not. And
And I think that it opens up some other challenges, right? So,
It does, because you have to be able to continuously put out content. And I think that's where the challenge is for a lot of companies, because, like you said, they're too busy running a business, right?
Yeah, I think that opens up a couple of different things. And again, I think that opens up a bunch of different kinds of questions, all of which I think make this, as I've said in lectures I've given at places, that this is I believe that this is the most exciting time to be in advertising in the history of advertising, and some of these things that we're touching on right now are why. I think that you're right. When my father was doing advertising on Madison Avenue in the 1960s, you know, and they would do an ad that would run in Time magazine, you know, they made sure that ad was exactly the way they wanted it to be before it went out the door, because they knew that when it went out the door, it was going to be in, you know, whatever, 5 million copies of Time magazine next week, and there was nothing they could do about it if it was, you know, wrong, if there was a typo in it, or if it was whatever, right? Whereas with what we do, it's we put something out there, and if we find out that there's something we want to tweak about it, or we look, oh, this picture, you know, we can A/B test stuff and we can respond to it really quickly. You know, we have all that sort of, we have those, we can respond in real time, which is awesome and amazing, right? One of the challenges I think that gives us, aside from the fact of just understanding, you know, developing advertising people who can work iteratively and understand that this is an iterative medium and how to take advantage of that, is also the challenge of, okay, let's not change it yet. You know, it's been 15 minutes.
Restraint.
Let's give it a full hour before we decide that it's not working, or let's do the full hour before we decide that the other one is doing much better, right? So it gets tricky to sort of hold on to things, and as you know, because everything is changeable. And again, this is a thing that I remember my father talking about. He was in a editing suite with a client, and this was actually, you know, I mean, my father's been, you know, this is in the 90s, late 80s, so computers were not certainly where they are today, but he was in an editing suite and they were changing all this stuff all around, and the client turned to him and said, remember when everybody said computers are going to make things so much easier for us? And he said, they make things easier for us, they just gave us more options. We still have to make a decision about what we want to stop doing something.
Sure.
And before it was like, we can't do X because, you know, we can't make these, we can't cut this film 15 different ways because there will be a physical degradation to the film. That was a problem in the 50s and 60s, right? Well, now it's like, we can cut the film because it's all digital. We can cut it 800 different versions, and I can send you 800 different versions of it. You can look at it, 800 different versions of it. So my point is like that that you the because we have all these options, we can run all these options. The challenge becomes we have to, and it comes back to the clients and the agencies to be able to look at it and kind of go, you know, because we don't have to change everything all the time. We can look at stuff and give it 4 or 5 weeks and then look at it, make a decision about it. And it's, do we want to A/B test? We had a campaign that we did A/B testing on, and one version, you know, it's basically the same creative with, you know, sort of a, one change between the two versions, because we, you know, often clients will want to, well, let's make the second one really different from the first one. It's like, well, then I don't know what's working or what's not working. If you have four variables in the thing, I don't know what's working or what's not working.
Right, right.
But we had the media, we did, it was a display media campaign, and we had, you know, four sizes. They were the four most, you know, common sizes. And we, oh, look, the A version is doing much better than the B version. So we'll kill the B version and we'll do the A version and we'll do a, now we'll do another version and sort of, you know, A/B test it again, you know, sort of how it's going. And then we dug deeper into the numbers. We go, holy cow, look at this. The mobile size of the B version way outperformed everything else, even though overall the A version content outperformed the B version content. But when we looked at just in terms of the individual sizes of the actual ads it ran, the B version mobile way outperformed everything else. And we're looking at this going, well, what the hell does that mean?
So it's almost right? Like you're crippled by all the data almost.
Well, but the point, but it's a nice option. It's a nice thing. It's a nice problem to have, right?
Yeah, as
a person,
right.
Because you like to think, you know, that you'll be able to figure that stuff out. So anyway, getting back to sort of the bigger thing. So like that's the opportunity that we have because of the iterative nature of this, because of, to your point, all the KPIs, all the things that we can measure, all the things we can look at. But then we also have to be patient enough to see whether stuff is going to and how stuff is reacting. And then also sort of be able to look at, you know, the algorithms are built by humans to, and the data points that we look at are the ones that we have chosen. You have to also think about, well, am I looking at the right data points? Am I looking at this the right way? Am I judging this the right way? You know, I'm not getting 18 to 21 year olds buying my product. Well, you know, maybe that's not who should be buying your product. Maybe that's what you're learning. You know, maybe you're learning that your target is wrong. You know, it's not that the message is failing. It's that there's another question to ask. And to me, that's what becomes really fascinating. You know, one of the things that becomes really fascinating about all this. And I think it's, you know, whether we're talking to Fortune 500 companies or whether we're talking to small local companies, because it's still the same fundamental issue. You're still trying to get, right? It still comes down to those four basic questions. Who are you talking to? What do you want them to do? Why aren't they doing it? And why should they care, right? And the fact that we're using digital and social to answer those questions doesn't make those questions different. It's still those questions we have to answer, and that we use the data from them to answer. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's you know, the principles are there. It's almost like, listen, we got to go back to basics here. The medium has changed, but the principles are the same, right? The radio, then the television, and now the mobile device, right? Like that's been the transition, but the marketing principles are there. So my question to you is, so one of the things that we see a lot is small businesses that are used to the traditional world. And when I say traditional world, I mean the direct mails and the local radios and the local TVs and the newspapers, things like that. They kind of want to like dip their toe into the digital and social media world. What's your advice to those types of business owners and managers that are, I don't want to say stuck in that traditional way of thinking, just because that's the way they've always done things? What's your advice to them as they approach this golden age of advertising that you and I are really excited about? What's your advice to them on breaking into this social thing that they know nothing about? I mean, I see it all the time. I mean, they have no clue.
Yeah. Well, I think find a reputable guide that you can trust. I can think of two off the top of my head.
Both of them work for your company, right?
Well, one of them's on this end of the microphone, and one of them's on the other end of the microphone.
Oh, okay.
But I think that there's a lot. I'm kind of not joking about that, because I think that there is a lot that seems overwhelming to people. There's a lot that they know that they don't know, I think that businesses large and small are dealing with the same problem, which is, as I sort of said before, it's like they know that the old forms aren't functioning, because even the least self-aware marketer can look at their own behavior and realize how little television they're looking at, how little direct mail they're really looking at, how little radio they're really listening to, how few billboards they're really responding to, how few newspapers or magazines they're really pulling messaging out of, and at the same time, how much time they're spending on their tablet, on their laptop, on their phone. I mean, they can see themselves doing that, and they can see how much time they're spending on Amazon and how much time they're spending on Facebook and how much those things are become a huge part of their day, the way they communicate, not just their day, the way they communicate with their friends, their coworkers, their family members, right? So, I mean, they can see just by looking at themselves at the end, you know, the focus group at the end of their own nose, to see that consumers' behavior towards marketing has changed because they don't know their own behavior has changed.
But not only that, but the costs of those mediums that you just mentioned, the radio, the newspaper, the direct mail, the billboards, those costs have continuously increased despite declining attention. And you are seeing increased costs in the Facebook and Instagram ads and the Twitter ads and the Snapchat ads. You're seeing increased costs of those, but comparatively, especially for a local business, the cost effectiveness is there.
Yeah, you're probably right in terms of the costs. I don't I know it sounds a sort of dilettantish thing to say, but I'm not paying attention to the costs as much as I'm paying attention to, who am I talking to and where are they? And then when I figure out where they are, what's the context of how do I deliver a message that will resonate with them in that place? So, if I know, as we were saying before, that people are spending 10 hours a day in front of their screens, okay, then that's where I want to be. Right.
Right.
And then if I layer on top of that the idea that, wow, you mean through Facebook, I can target to incredibly precise geographic areas or on mobile, a program we did for a client where it was a co-working space. A company, and we had messaging that specifically the creative message specifically targeted people trying to have trying to work in coffee shops, because a lot of people who have their own businesses, right, they work in coffee shops because that's
sure.
Right, and so not only did the creative sort of reference that idea of like trying to run your business out of a coffee shop, but then we were able to geo-target and geo-fence the media buy in terms of at coffee shops. That's the kind of thing that you how do you realistically and do that in any other medium, right?
That's right.
And then now you layer on top of that the fact that you could even have a call to action so that they could click on something and go directly to a site, or maybe there would be somebody who could interact with them directly, right? Or through so I could actually like start closing the deal right then, so we could have that conversation, right? I mean, like, you start layering on top of that all of those kinds of things. Oh, and then one more thing, now with stuff like what Rocket Fuel has been able to do from a programmatic standpoint, we could even target the messaging even more specifically based on the other sites and the other things that person has done. It's like, why wouldn't I? And if it's at a cost per unit or per click that you can manage on the fly, that doesn't break your bank, why wouldn't I want to do that?
that's why I've been beating my head against the wall.
But the point is, and I think this is the thing that you and I are really banging our head against the wall, is like, not that people don't understand that when you lay that out for them, they just don't understand that that's what we're talking about.
Right. Or that's even a possibility for them.
Right. And I think that is very true. I think that part of it, whether it's a possibility for them, we're finding it at Electric Engine is true, whether we're talking about, smaller businesses, local businesses, or whether we're talking about business units within much bigger companies, right? So yeah. A smaller brand within a big company that they're not, they don't get the attention from the big agency because they don't have their budget isn't,
right.
But their budget basically is eaten up by the phone call asking the agency if they could maybe do some work. We'd love to, but
that's right.
That $16,000 has basically just been this phone call. Thank you. Talk to you next year. Right. So, but the stuff that we do, and then to your point before, it gets results fairly quickly. Like you can see, we did a thing for a client and they needed leads and they would get like one or two leads a month. And we did this program. We ran it for 30 days and they got 35 leads. They got, like 1500% ROI.
Right, right.
And the moment that they turned off the program, they went back down to one lead, in 30 days. And so it was great for us.
Yeah.
Because they could literally take that stuff to their senior management and say, do you notice how there was this big spike in leads? And when it stopped, it's because of this thing that you can very specifically point to it and say, I have a feeling this is what might have been driving that. And that's the kind of thing, to your point, that people don't understand that they have access to.
Right. So I think if I were to narrow this down to a few really big key takeaways here, it's number one is go back to basics. Marketing 101. Who are you talking to? How are you going to get the message in front of them? And it's the art and science, right? Art and math. And number two, one of the big things that I'm taking away from this, Martin, is that business owners need to learn what's available to them, because like I was telling you earlier, I met with a client a week ago, a brand new client, and I was like, listen, we're gonna start retargeting to your website visitors. Well, what does that mean? She's like, wait, I think I know what you're talking about. I went to jcpenney.com and then when I went to Facebook later on, I saw an ad for JCPenney for the coat that I was gonna buy. Is that what you mean? And it's like, right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, wait, you could do that for us? It's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're gonna do.
And it's as effective for other humans as it is for you. Yes, but I think that to me, the thing that I would say to and that I do say to companies large and small is, you just have to understand that, you just have to understand that that is what we can do for you on an extremely cost effective basis. And the other thing that's nice too, we kind of make our own budget, right? Because once you start driving in those leads,
yep.
Then there's more money to spend on advertising because
wait, advertising's bringing in customers. Yeah, should I do more advertising?
Yeah, my suggestion to you would be yes, you should definitely do more. Yes, so but I'm saying like that they don't need to know how to, as my old man used to say, I asked you what time it is and you told me how to make a clock. They don't need to know how to make a clock. They just need to know that somebody can tell them what time it is, right?
And but I think they do. But they need to. But they have to be aware of the clock. I mean, I think that's part of the battle, is just not realizing that this is at their disposal, whether they want to spend the time to learn it themselves and kind of know what's under the hood, or hire a professional to do it. I mean, like they it's amazing how many people I speak to, and you probably do too, that they're like, "Wait, you could do that? Wait, you could do that?"
Yeah, I think that they are surprised by that. My point is that the thing that I've found is just that they want to do, especially with small businesses, like they want to do what they do. they didn't they didn't start the plumbing company because they, you know, I'm in plumbing, but what I really want to do is marketing. They started the plumbing company because they won.
That's great.
Right? So they want to do the plumbing. That's what they know. And they want to feel like they have somebody that they can trust and count on, who is like, you know, and the nice thing about what you and I are describing and what your client described with the JCPenney thing is, like, if you can just walk them through, you know, you've experienced this on your own, right? You know, you, like, we do a lot of retargeting and remarketing, right? And it's the same kind of thing. It's like, so have you ever used Google? Yes. Okay. So here's what we're going to do, right? You notice how this is like, oh yeah, I do that. That's exactly what happens. Okay. We're going to do that for you. I mean, it's not like, you know, when you're trying to explain to people, like, I've done all kinds of different marketing. I've done a lot of guerrilla work. I've done a lot of sales promotion. I've done, you know, traditional TV, print, and radio. I've done direct. I've done a lot of different kinds of things because for whatever reason. But the point is, a lot of those other channels, you are trying to explain things to people that they don't understand and don't want to understand, and you know, they're not, you know, whenever you're trying to explain something to people that they don't understand, then there's this sort of, well, you're just bullshitting me. I mean, is this really,
is this the real
thing? But when you talk
about
this,
that's how I
feel
when I go to the mechanic, because I have no concept of how a car works.
Yeah, right. And so but to that point, once you find a mechanic who you trust, who,
right.
Like, I had a guy when I was in college and my car broke down. You know, I was in college in Hartford and I was visiting a friend of mine down in Middletown. And my car broke down in Middletown and it wouldn't start at all. And I called a guy and it was like a $2 fuse. And I was like, dude, you could have charged me $400.
Yep.
I would have had no idea. Yep. And so for the rest of my time in college, I would drive down to Middletown to have the guy service my car, because I knew, like, he had a chance to totally screw me. And he just charged me like $2 for this. So that's the thing about what we're doing. And then we're talking about SEM and SEO and all those kinds of things. You know, the ability to you're able to use the person you're talking to as the example. As you know, well, you do this, you know, and you buy, you go to the JCPenney site, and you see this thing show up. That's what we're gonna do, right? You've experienced that personally, right? Yes, I have. Okay. That's what we're going to do for you. Oh,
okay.
Cool. I understand how that works. Right. Yeah. And I think it's just a matter of getting in front of people and explaining that to them, and then creating the illusion of trustworthiness.
Maybe I should start a podcast about this very topic.
Nobody would listen to that and
share it with people that we're talking about.
No.
Horrible idea.
That's never going to work. It's a crazy idea.
Well, yeah, no, that's probably a good place to, you know, kind of start wrapping it up there. I mean, it's just, there's a lot of good stuff out there, man. And local businesses, small, large, and everywhere in between really, really need to be taking advantage of this. I mean, it's, you know, I've seen it transform many businesses, just in the last couple of years. I'm sure you've been in this game a lot, you know, longer than I have. So you've probably seen it happen more than I have.
Yeah, I have. But since as you pointed out, I am really old, I've forgotten them all. No. And the thing is that one of the things is also sort of nice, just on the marketing side, but it's something that clients, large and small, should be aware of. And certainly I'm sure mentioned to the clients you talked to, is like, it's not prohibitive, and if you don't do it, the odds are your competitor's going to do it, because you know it's like, yep. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's not a threat, but it's like, I'm not saying you should, you know, it's not like when you say you have to do a television commercial in the Super Bowl, otherwise, you know, your competitor's going to do it. It's like, well, your competitor's probably not going to do it because it's really expensive to do a TV Super Bowl, but to do, you know, really targeted Facebook media, it's not that expensive. It's just, you know, it's, and you can manage it. And if you're not going to do it, watch Facebook, because I would bet your competitor's going to do it. And then you're going to be playing catch up.
That's 100% true. They will do it. I mean, I tell people this all the time, sometimes probably to my detriment, but it's like, I don't care if you work with me, but you need to do this because it will save you.
Yeah, and I'm sure you do the same thing that we do, which is when you're looking at clients and you're trying to help them, and you know, you're looking at their website, you're looking at their paid and their organic search and all that kind of, and their social media, you're looking at their competitors too and seeing what they're doing.
Of course, of course.
Right? And so you can very and we do this. We'll go say, okay, so you guys, your site is terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
But here are two competitors, and their site's really good. And yeah. That's probably why they're eating your lunch right now. And so you need to catch up on this.
And it doesn't take too many competitors to eat your lunch. It really doesn't.
Right. I think that's words to live by. It does not take too many competitors to eat your lunch.
There you go. Right.
That's
T-shirt.
No, I think
T-shirt. Sure.
I don't wear T-shirts.
Is it 280K? You don't wear shirts, but
I do. Actually, that's not okay. So that's
that's why
true.
This is audio and not video, Martin.
Wow, that's why, right? Because of the two of us.
Oh my gosh! No,
I've known Joe for a long time. Joe's a wonderful guy. I don't want to see him shirtless, but he's a wonderful guy.
Oh, that's okay. Never mind. I'm not even gonna go there. There's something about shirtless men in the same room. That's like this. It's happened a few times.
Yeah.
Glad you didn't go there.
but I
didn't want to go there, but it just happened.
Okay, that's fine. No, but I think you're right, and the point is, and that's a point that we made to large companies and small companies, and again, the nice thing is that or the way that I try to look at the constant evolution, the constant iteration, and the to a certain extent chaos of everything that's going on is that just because your competitor has figured this out, is doing this right now, doesn't mean that 6 months from now you won't be able to leapfrog them because of being able to take advantage of things that they've gotten complacent about. So it's like I said before, I very much believe that this is the most exciting time to be in advertising, the history of advertising. And if I can just stay awake long enough to keep working on it, I hope to see great things happening.
Yeah, if that's 100% true, 100% true. Well, listen, really good insights, man. I thank you for coming on the show. Where can the listeners find out more about you? With a shirt on, where can they find out more about you?
Well, there's a lovely NSA file that you can go to electricengine.com. That's electric, and then ENJIN.com.
I'll beep that out, Martin, so they don't hear where you're from.
Thank you very much. You can find me on LinkedIn. You can find me at Twitter, Martin Beal. You can find the agency review at the-agency-review.com. That you can also follow that on Twitter and Facebook. Obviously, I'm on. I'm not advertising because I'm waiting to find somebody who can do Facebook advertising for me that I trust. Joe, you know anybody?
Nope.
And
nobody's on Facebook, Martin.
Oh, that's what I keep hearing.
Nobody uses Facebook. What I'll do is I'm going to link to all of your stuff in the show notes, Martin, so people don't have to remember all those pesky URLs and Twitter handles and all that stuff. I'm going to just make them find you anywhere you want to be found in the show notes. Is that fair?
That's awesome. That sounds great. Then why did you ask me where they could find me?
Well, I just wanted to hear your voice a little more.
You did not. Yeah. Dude, you think there's a documentary that Ken Burns is premiering next month that you can find out about me from there? Or perhaps, you know, if you look at me in the, you know, Encyclopedia Britannica under incredibly good looking advertising guys. I mean, I'm not exactly sure what you were asking me.
That's right. If you try to find that page, it'll be a little piece of loose leaf that Martin snuck in there.
Wow. Really? It's been wonderful. Is it time to go already?
It is. It is. We definitely have to wrap it up now, Martin. I'm sorry.
Has it been a half hour already? Wow. That went fast.
It's usually how it goes in this crazy marketing world. Hey, guess how much more content was just made in the time that you and I were talking?
Hey, none. Zero. I was listening to it.
That's right.
No, it was – no. Thanks for having me on. It was great fun. I love talking about this stuff, and as you can tell, I can talk about it endlessly because it is fascinating to me, and there's so many opportunities, and I know that you're doing great work, and whatever I can do to help you along, I'm more than happy to.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. Your insights are always appreciated. Make sure to check Martin out everywhere that he wants to be found. You can check that out in the show notes as well. Martin, hope to have you back again, and thanks so much for coming on.
Of course, man, anytime. And good luck with this.
Thank you. You too.